Well, that brings us to our next guest, who is here in studio with us, NBC analyst Nick Luck. Nice enough to stop by on a Saturday morning. And we're going to talk a lot about all the winning you're in races here domestically over the course of the second half of the program with John Gasper and Steve Castagnola. But we thought Nick could fill us in on what's happening overseas. So nice enough to swing by. Good morning, my friend.
So much. Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. There's so much going on overseas at the moment. It's hard to get a handle on. I'm trying to wake up early to watch racing in Australia and then keep an eye on what's happening at Longchamp this weekend and then on to all the winning you're in races here. But it's a fabulous weekend of racing across three continents.
Australia, a little horse named Winx won as most people were sleeping here in the United States last night.
Absolutely amazing. 28 straight victories, 21 of them in Grade One company. I was calculating she'd won somewhere in the region of $14 million. And people say, well, why isn't she ever going to race outside Australia? There's no incentive for her to race outside Australia. There's no money on the table. Nobody's had enough enterprise, I think, to try and lure her. Royal Ascot had a good go. They didn't quite pull it off. And that's out of her season anyway. So I can quite see why they've kept her at home. And she's running incredible races against the clock, even if the opposition is quite thin by international standards. What she's doing against the clock is remarkable. Even this morning, she got herself out of a really unpromising position with a burst of speed. She came home in 11 second furlongs, the last three furlongs. And any horse that can continue to do that at the age of seven off that many lifetime starts has got to be an all-time great. Amazing horse.
She's captured the hearts of so many people around the world. I mean, you know, when you see the Twitter feed in the morning of her races, you know, so many people have stayed up till one or two in the morning just to watch her run. You know, and that's a rarity in our business because everybody's stretched to the limits that works in racing, but a lot of people stay up to watch her races.
And I don't think anyone who lived through Black Caviar and enjoyed her string of extraordinary success would ever have believed that another Australian racehorse, let alone another filly or mare, would come along quite so soon and entirely eclipse her achievement. Yes, Black Caviar has that Royal Ascot win on her dance card, which was one of her most dramatic, but what Winx has done has been nothing short of extraordinary. And the way that Hugh Bowman rides her with what he describes as arrogance, but what we would describe as the confidence of a man who knows he's on one of the all-time greats, and the way she's been beautifully trained by Chris Waller, and the way he communicates exactly what she's doing to the public all the time has been an example to everybody. And I think it's been a really important week for Australian racing and for Australians showing the rest of the world in some respect how it's done, not just with the way that Winx has campaigned and the publicity that surrounds her, but also with this Everest sprint, which is based on the Pegasus. Let's give the Stronach Group credit for coming up with the idea in the first place, but it's an invitational race and you buy your way in and then there's a huge purse at the end of it. But the Everest in Australia has really captured the imagination. I don't know if you guys have seen the huge row that's ensued in Sydney between the lady who runs the Sydney Opera House.
The huge what?
Row.
The huge row.
Okay. Row.
Right. I'm Googling right now. Hold on.
Fracas. Nations divided by a common language.
What a great line that is.
You can catch more anglicised nonsense on NBC Sports during the course of this weekend. Yeah, there was a huge fracas between the lady that runs the Sydney Opera House and Racing New South Wales, who made an agreement with a provisional agreement with the government down there to superimpose the barrier draw onto the side of the Opera House, and she's not having it. It may cost her her job, as she is a government appointee, and the government have decided that this is a good idea to have the Everest barrier draw superimposed for the world to see. And they're saying it's bringing hundreds of millions into the New South Wales economy this race.
Wow!
So I'm not saying they have the best horses in the world, but the way that racing is administered, even just looking on from afar, it clearly still occupies a place closer to popular culture than either it does in Britain or in the United States.
Pretty much anywhere. I mean, national holiday, right? The first Tuesday in November. I mean, it's a place where people love their racing, and it's not just the big tracks. They got little places running on the beach and doing all kinds of things. It's a country that loves the sport. I mean, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, but we can, I think, still say that in terms of raw talent, they don't have the equine talent that you have here or that there is in Europe.
No, that's true.
Apart from Wings.
Yeah. Right.
But
right.
The fans have the enthusiasm for it.
Absolutely.
Regardless.
Absolutely.
Talking with NBC analyst Nick Luck here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, joining us in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. Nick, sticking with the theme of the European road to the Breeders' mm-hmm. Cup, tomorrow, three win in your in races at Longchamp and France. What are some of the main storylines to look for there?
Well, I think we need to start with the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, even though technically it's not a win and you're in and part of the Breeders' Cup Challenge. It is going to be the race that has the most significant bearing on the Breeders' Cup. Because if Enable wins her second consecutive arc and she comes out of the arc well, I think we can realistically expect her swan song to be at Churchill Downs in the Breeders' Cup turf. I don't think there'd be any point in her bringing her over just for the fillies race. I think they'd come over and try and be the first horse in a season to do the double of the arc and the Breeders' Cup. Turfound did it, of course, another great filly, but in different seasons. And Enable, with due respect to Found, is a significantly superior animal to the one that she was. So I think that's the most significant storyline, and it's not inconceivable that one or two other horses out of the arc could come. We've got last year's defending Breeders' Cup champion, Talismanic. We've got last year's arc runner-up, Cloth of Stars. We've got Waldgeist, who beat them both last time. And all those three are trained by Andre Farb. We know what a great record he has in the Breeders' Cup. So it's going to have a significant bearing on what happens in a few weeks' time, whatever the result.
Which horses in Europe have been the most impressive to you so far this summer?
Well, Roaring Lion is the dominant three-year-old in Europe this summer. He's won all three major 10 furlong Group 1 races, the Coral Eclipse, the Judmonton International, and the Irish Champion Stakes. All three of those races open to three-year-olds and older horses. He's a three-year-old, and he's beaten the older horses three times. So he looks a horse that takes his racing incredibly well. He's very tough. He's improving. He's a great testament to John Gosden's training skills, because at the beginning of the season, he ran a really indifferent race first out, and you thought, well, is he a bit of a twicer? Is he a little bit... not doggy, but does he have a few temperament issues? Does he really want to go through with it? And suddenly looks like the most genuine horse in training. And add to that a killer turn of foot. He's the real deal. And Gosden's discussed the possibility of bringing him to the Breeders' Cup. He's got to go to Ascot to Champion Stakes 2 weeks from now. So he's going to have to pack it in a short space of time. But he's been the sort of story horse of the season. Alpha Centauri, she's been the other exceptional horse in Europe.
Yeah.
Sadly, she's retired.
Yeah.
You know, she knocked out four straight grade ones in unbelievably impressive fashion. Her performance against the clock and against good opposition at Ascot was probably, well, definitely the performance of the season so far. And it's just a great shame we won't see her again. But, you know, she came across the skyline like a bright, shining comet, but unfortunately fizzled out just as quickly.
Do you think John would turn Roaring Lion around that quick?
Might do. Might do. He's a horse who's, I think, as I say, he's obviously got a great constitution, and I think his owners, Qatar Racing, have had a very good season. I think they're keen to run in one of the races on Champions Day, whether it's the Champion Stakes or, if the ground gets a bit softer, the mile race, the straight mile race, the Queen Elizabeth II, because they sponsor the whole card. And their organization, Kipco, have pumped so much money into British racing and to the concept of this British Champion Series that they're almost compelled by their own generosity to run their own horse in it to support their own event, which is completely understandable. But I know that Sheikh Farhad is a huge fan of the Breeders' Cup as well. I know that he is fully intending to be at Churchill Downs. So it's entirely feasible that he could wheel back if he's sound enough to take in a race on Breeders' Cup Day, which could be any one of three, conceivably. The obvious one would be to go to the turf and stretch him out, because mile and a half around three bends, as Gosden has said, is not maybe as exacting as a stiff mile and a half in Europe. Or they could go to the Classic and be bold. Difficult for a Son of Kitten's Joy, but it's not impossible. And there's the possibility they could run him in the mile if that comes up light. But he'd be an intriguing addition to the event. If we got Roaring Lion and Enable at Churchill Downs, then the event would take would look completely different. I think the international profile of the Breeders' Cup would be completely different to what it's looking like right now.
In terms of the turf course at Churchill that many of those Europeans will be racing over when they come for the Breeders' Cup, is there a course in Europe that is somewhat comparable to that turf course at Churchill Downs that they're going to race over?
Not really, I don't think, Mike, because I don't think there are courses in Europe that have the same dimensions, nor really the same soil makeup. Although the one thing I always say when European horses come here to race on turf, I'd rather it didn't rain. Yeah, normally people say, well, if it rains, it's going to suit the Europeans. But they've come here because they want a consistent sound surface. I remember Monmouth Park in 2007 when it was nearly a washout. Everyone said, oh, the Europeans will do okay on this soft turf. In fact, they ran deplorably.
Yeah.
Because it was unlike any kind of surface they'd raced on before, because it was getting quite shifty on top and there was no real base to it. So, yeah, I would rather it was a sound surface at Churchill.
Today on NBC, I believe 4:30 Eastern time is when the coverage begins.
4:30 Eastern.
4:30 yeah. Eastern. And that's on the big NBC, not NBCSN. So fans can tune in 4:30 to 6 Eastern. You'll have coverage of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. You'll have the Shadwell Mile and a race from Belmont, too. You're going to have the Champagne?
Yes, we are. And then some racing from Belmont tomorrow as well. I think we're showing the Frisette tomorrow. And tomorrow also 4:30 on NBC, we are showing the Spinster and the Bourbon.
Yep,
And the Frisette and the Flower Bowl from Belmont. So it's a busy weekend. I think we'll also be showing a rerun of the Arc from Longchamp tomorrow. I think there are 18 Breeders' Cup Challenge races around the world this weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that on NBC over the course of the 2 days, we can either show live or recorded 14 of the 18 or something like that, I think. So that would be no mean achievement in 3 hours of television.
Yeah, it would certainly be ambitious. Again, it's all on NBC, 4:30 Eastern today and tomorrow. If you can't be in front of a television, we'll have you covered on the radio side. Our coverage this afternoon kicks off 4 Eastern, live from Keeneland, Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. And then tomorrow, 5 to 6 Eastern, different Sirius XM channel, though. That's Sirius XM 93. So no excuses. You can watch them. You can listen to them. No excuses not to be up on the racing action on Fall Stars weekend.
Got it all covered.
Got it all covered. Yes, we do. Well done, my friend. Thanks for being here, Nick. Appreciate
it's a pleasure.
The visit. Yeah, and all the best with the coverage later today.
Thank you very much, guys. Really nice to see you. And yeah, thanks for having us.